This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. We trust the program is a help to you. If you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You may want to re-listen to the program on my website. You might want to read my weekly meditation there. You might want to contact me through the website or by regular mail with prayer requests or comments on the program. You might want to be on the free subscription list for Faith and for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. And so in order to get your address to me, you may have to write my address down at the close of the program so you can mail me of that information. Now today we're going to continue with Acts chapter 16. Last time we looked at the first part of the chapter where Paul and Silas had ended up in Lystra and Derbe and had picked up Timothy, who was called Timotheus there, so that he could go with them on their missionary journey. But it's interesting that as we go through the rest of this chapter, all of history is affected by what takes place here. That is, the gospel ends up going west instead of going north or east. And because it went west, I believe that we have been the beneficiaries of that today. But this chapter deals with God's guidance with regard to the work of the Lord and with regard to our lives. And I do believe that God does give guidance. Acts 16 and verse 6 says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word." Now Paul had gone up into the area that we would call Turkey today, and he was attempting to go, first of all, northeast into Asia. And if he had gone into Asia, it might be that ultimately Russia and China and the Southeast Asian countries would have been the beneficiaries of the gospel and the depositories of it, rather than the Western culture. But it seems as though the Holy Spirit forbid them to go up into Asia. Now, it isn't that they were forbidden to preach the gospel, it's they were forbidden to preach it there. And I've often wondered how the Holy Spirit was able to communicate to them that they could not go up into Asia. I know they didn't have airplanes at that time, but if it were in our day, perhaps it would be because they couldn't get a ticket on an airplane, or perhaps immigration officials wouldn't let them in. There's all kinds of ways in which the door could be closed by circumstances. It may have been closed in some other way as well, but there was definitely a closed door in this area that Paul wanted to go into. Now, Paul had a desire, so the desire was there, but he didn't have the opportunity. And so then they tried a second time to go into Bithynia, and I believe that's more in the northern and maybe perhaps northwest part of Turkey. But again, the Spirit did not permit them. Now, whether the buses weren't running, or whether the area was fogged in, or whether they couldn't get horses or mules to carry them, I don't know, but they couldn't go in that direction. And I'm assuming that there were circumstances that led to their believing they couldn't go in that direction. It may be that, just as in the next verse Paul is going to get a vision, that they had gotten a vision that they couldn't go there. I don't know, but they knew the Holy Spirit was guiding them and closing these doors. So they passed by Mysia. Notice they were obedient. They didn't fight the issue, even though Paul was absolutely convinced that he should be preaching the gospel in those areas. When the circumstances were such that they couldn't, he was willing to be obedient and not try to open a door that God had closed. So passing by Mysia, however you want to pronounce it, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And so now Paul says, "Oh, now I understand. It isn't that I'm not supposed to preach the gospel. It's that I'm not supposed to preach the gospel in Asia or in Asia Minor or in Turkey. It's that I'm supposed to preach the gospel in Greece." And Macedonia was in the area area that we would call Greece today. And so he gets this vision of a man from Macedonia pleading with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And then they do go over into Macedonia, and they end up at Philippi, and that's one of the first major works they do. And I've often felt that perhaps at Philippi, the Philippian jailer might have been the one who had appeared in Paul's vision and said, come over and help us. Because it's interesting that while something hindered them from going to these other two places, when they went over into Macedonia, it wasn't as though they had an easy time of it. Because as we read the rest of the story, we're going to find out that they end up in prison because they preach the gospel. And because they end up in prison, a Philippian jailer is going to be reached and saved. And we would say, well, wait a minute, weren't circumstances kind of against them as they went into Macedonia as well? Now, everyone has to get their own guidance from God, their own ability to understand what God wants them to do. And sometimes we talk about knowing the will of God, and one of the big subjects in Christian circles is, how do you know the will of God? Because sometimes when we have circumstances seemingly against us, we'll hear people say, well, it must be that God's in it because Satan is resisting you, and you just need to try harder. And then again, we'll hear people say, well, if that door has been closed, God must have closed the door, and he'll open another one. And so we get conflicting truisms, we might say, associated with open and closed doors. And it's hard for us sometimes to know exactly what God does really want us to do. Now, I do believe that in the Bible there is the will of God is spelled out in an explicit way on many things. And on those things, we really don't need to pray about whether we should do them. We need to pray about how to do them, perhaps, but we don't need to pray about whether to do them. And so, for example, when we look at the explicit will of God, we're sometimes thinking about, well, the need to be saved. The need to be born again. That's explicit. There's no doubt about it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so that's the explicit will of God. You're not going to go to heaven without being saved or delivered from the penalty that you deserve because of your sin, and that can only be done through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sacrifice for our sins. That saves us from an eternal hell and saves us for an eternal heaven. And though that is the explicit will of God, and that's the first thing we need to settle if we're going to know the will of God in our lives in a further way. There is no way that an unregenerate mind is going to be able to be in touch with God with regard to a plan for their lives. We're going to have to have a humble mind, we're going to have a regenerated mind, we're going to have to repent and believe the gospel in order for us to make further progress when it comes to the will of God. Now, the next thing the explicit will of God will tell us is that we must be baptized. And there's many people today who are saying they're doing the will of God and they've never been baptized. That would never have flown in the early New Testament church. If you weren't baptized in the early New Testament church, you wouldn't have been trusted as a Christian. And in that day, there was persecution. And the persecution was such that they needed to know for sure that the people that they were working with were standing publicly and firmly for the Lord Jesus and were not traitors, much like Judas was a traitor. They needed to know that the people they were working with would not turn them into the authorities and turn on them when it came to actually standing for the Lord publicly. And so they needed to be baptized. Now today our persecution is not so public, and yet we still need to know that the people we're working with are real. And one of the ways we know that the people we're fellowshipping with, breaking bread with, the people that we are preaching the gospel with are real, is that after they're saved, they're saying, I'm a Christian, I'm living a new life in Christ. And they prove it by being baptized or immersed, which is what the word means, in water. And they show that they have died with Christ, they've been buried with Christ, and they've been raised again to walk in newness of life. And they're willing to publicly profess that, even if persecution is within the family or within the country is the result of it. And early New Testament saints died in order to carry out that public commitment to the Lord. But it is still the explicit will of God that we be immersed based on our faith. It's not an infant baptism. Infant baptism is just water on an infant, because an infant is not able to express his or her own faith until they're old enough to receive Christ and then tell the world that they are a Christian through baptism. And so the explicit will of God is that we must be baptized. And I hope that you have recognized that this is not an option. It is a requirement if you're going to please the Lord. It doesn't make you more saved, but those who are saved are taking a stand of obedience that will allow them to understand the will of God with regard to how the Lord would want to use them. And so we need to be saved. We need to be baptized. We need to be gathered with other saints for worship. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's the explicit will of God. There's the explicit will of God having to do with the role of women in the church. And that's not social custom that we can set aside today, even though we ourselves might not do it the way God would do it. He has told men that they should be the leaders. He has told women that within the church they should not be the teachers. Women are to express the headship of Christ by symbolically covering their head, by covering their head so that symbolically the headship of Christ is seen, because their heads are representative of man, and they cover their heads so that symbolically it's obvious that man is not running the show, that the Lord is running the show. And then men leave their heads uncovered so that it's symbolically showing the angels in 1 Corinthians 11 that men are subject to the Lord. Their heads represent the Lord. So the man's head shows that the Lord is in charge. The woman's covered head shows that man is subjecting himself to the Lord. And that's the explicit will of God. But there's the other things that we call the implicit will of God. What job should we take? Who should we marry? What house should we buy? Where should we preach the gospel? Preaching it is explicitly commanded, but where we should preach it is not so explicit. That's one of the implicit things. And we need to be guided of God on these issues. And I think in order to be guided of God, if we're saved, if we're in touch with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that'll happen is the Holy Spirit will lay a burden upon us. We'll have a desire to do whatever it is we would like to do. We'll check the Scriptures to make sure that our desire is consistent with the Scriptures, and that we are doing what the principles of Scriptures would ask us to do. In other words, we'll do the project in a scriptural way, and we'll look for advice for others. But ultimately, on the implicit will of God, we'll have to know and have peace in our heart that God is leading us to do a certain thing. Paul was resisted, even though his desire was right when it came to where to preach the gospel, but because he waited upon the Lord and went to Macedonia, we now in the Western culture have been the recipients of the gospel, and we've been blessed because Paul was obedient to the guidance of the will of God. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless that which has been of Thyself. We thank Thee for Thy love and for Thy salvation. We just commend ourselves into Thy care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.